This Bible talk, better than Moses, on Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 to chapter 4, verse 13,
was recorded for Sunday, the 26th of April 2020, during the coronavirus shutdown.
Our Bible reading this morning comes from Hebrews chapter 3, and I'll be reading from verse 1 to chapter 4, verse 13. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in the heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him, who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. On the day of testing, in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is written, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as it has to them, but the message that they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest, as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has somewhere spoken on the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this passage he says, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and for those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David so long afterward in the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your word to us. And we thank you that you promise rest. We thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus, who enables us to enter into his rest today, Would you help us to hear your word? Would you help us to soften our hearts? Help us to respond to you rightly, Lord Jesus, to encourage one another, because it's called today. And we pray now that you'd help us to hear your word and that you'd help me to speak in a way that's faithful and clear. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't think you realise it. I'm not sure we really get it. But it's an enormous threat to us, an enormous threat to the church. It holds back the work of the gospel. But all of us do it. All of us are guilty of it. We do it all the time. You might have even done it this morning, over the breakfast table, downloading this podcast. You could be doing it right now, silently, without even realising it. We tend to overlook it in others and don't really see it in ourselves anymore. But God sees it. God's angry about it. We do it so often that it's second nature to us. We're fluent in its language and in its culture. It could be about anything. Soon it grows to being about everything until it ultimately consumes us. C.S. Lewis says, eventually that's all that's left of us. You might think it's a small thing. Usually it's over something insignificant, not that big of a deal, nothing much to worry about. But let me tell you, friends, it can cost you more than you realise. It cost Israel the promised land. And that's what it could cost us too. Here's the warning. See it with me, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 16. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who had left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Israel's rebellion in the wilderness, their sin, disobedience, and unbelief expressed itself in complaining. Grumble, groan, moan, whinge, whine, mutter, bleat, sound off, speak out, protest, grouch, gripe, and grizzle, belly aching, beefing, and being a grump. It cost Israel the promised land. What's your complaining costing you? Hey, how do you know when a plane's arrived from England? We can still hear all the whining after the engines have stopped. But it's not just the English anymore, is it? Australians are champion complainers too. We'll have a whinge about everything. We'll even whinge about everybody having a whinge. And right now, there's plenty to complain about. Case numbers are down, but restrictions remain in place. Toilet paper, pasta and rice are all difficult to access, as accessible as church online and education platforms. Christians are no different. We'll complain about everything else too. Except it's worse when we complain about things because we believe that we live in a fallen world. Still, it doesn't stop us from complaining, does it? Why won't God do something about this? How much longer do I have to put up with this for? When trouble comes our way, when uncertainty and unpredictability interrupt our lives, it's easy for our hearts to turn away from God, easy to harden our hearts against his word. Which is why we need to encourage one another. Encouragement is the key to perseverance. Encouragement keeps us going. For the Christians in the small house churches in and around the city of Rome, at the heart of the Roman Empire, at the height of persecution under the Emperor Nero, many of them had already fled in fear, hardening their hearts in self-protection. Just for being Christian, they were arrested. Arrest led to interrogation, to an violent and cruel death. The cost of discipleship was high. For some, it was too high. Many began asking questions of God, questions whether God is really in control. But when our important questions remain unanswered, our hearts, they quickly start to harden, don't they? The writer encourages us not to turn away. God has spoken to us by his Son. Last week we heard that Jesus is better than the angels, but now the writer wants to build on that. You see, when trouble comes our way, it's easy for our thoughts to turn away from God, easy to harden our hearts against his living word. When trouble comes our way, it's natural for us to think about self-preservation. But the Hebrews, the writer to the Hebrews, encourages us to think differently. We need to consider our calling. See it with me, chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in our heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. Last week we saw it was the angels who put the law into effect. The angels were with Moses on Mount Sinai, but Moses was on Mount Sinai. Moses is the mediator of the old covenant. Moses saw the glory of God. God spoke directly to Moses. But the writer of the Hebrews says, if you share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, because Jesus is better than Moses. And the difference is like honoring the building while neglecting the builder. Buildings, they don't get design awards, do they? Trophies sit proudly in the cabinets of architects. Jesus is better than Moses. And that's a big statement, don't you reckon? Particularly if you have been an observant Jew, especially if you tried keeping the law. I mean, it's easy to overlook angels in the Old Testament, but Moses, he appears on almost every page. He's mentioned by name 789 times in the Bible, 766 of them in the Old Testament. Moses, well, he's the standard. He is the mediator of the covenant. On the verge of entering the promised land, Israel were expecting another prophet just like him. And here's what they needed to do with him, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. Another prophet like Moses, who would lead Israel into the promised land. Another prophet like Moses, who would give rest to God's people. The irony is, though, Israel didn't listen to Moses. When things weren't going their way in the wilderness, Israel hardened their hearts against God. Moses became an easy target for blame, a scapegoat, before they even had them. Numbers 12, verse 6. Hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak mouth to mouth, clearly and not in riddles, and he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? See, Moses was faithful as a servant. But the writer to the Hebrews tells us Jesus is faithful as a son. Moses was faithful in God's house, but Jesus faithful over God's house. Moses is the house. Jesus builds the house and brings us into it. So keep your thoughts on Jesus. Hebrews 3 verse 6. And we are his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. See, it's easy for our hearts to turn away from God, easy to harden our hearts against his living word. On the verge of entering the promise of rest, Israel grumbled and complained against God. And they complained about Moses. Chapter 14, verse 2 of Numbers. And all the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, "Would that we have died in the land of Egypt, or that we would have died in the wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to fall by the sword?" Can you hear them? Why won't God do something about this? How much longer do I have to put up with this for? Israel, they hardened their hearts against God. Their hearts became sinful and unbelieving. They turned away in rebellion and disobedience, hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. They stopped believing and sought self-preservation. But can you hear how silly the logic of self-preservation is? They say, we're better off dying in Egypt than by the sword. Well, excuse me for being slightly pedantic for a moment, but they'd still be dead, wouldn't they? It makes as much sense as a public demonstration rally against coronavirus public restrictions. The people perish because they complained. Their bodies scattered across the desert floor. God brings judgment against the unbelieving, the rebellious, provocative, sinful, and disobedient. And unbelief is expressed in our complaints. Hebrews 3 verse 16. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? You see, the writer is warning the Hebrews about Israel's disobedience to God's word. Israel grumbled and complained. They whinged about the present situation that they were in. And we stand on the verge of these same promises, don't we? We've had the same good news preached to us, but now in the face of some minor difficulties, after a few slight and momentary troubles, because things weren't going their way, these Hebrew Christians are making the same mistakes. Can you hear them beginning to grumble and complain? Maybe you can hear the similarities. Why won't God do something about this? How much longer do I have to put up with this for? And so now comes the warning. Hebrews 3 verse 7. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Same issue. Same warning. The writer picks up the second half of Psalm 95. Psalm 95 is all about Israel's rebellion in Numbers chapter 14. The Bible uses Israel's history to warn us about sin. It's the same word of promise now spoken to a new people. Put simply, don't make the same mistakes Israel did. Paul says the same thing elsewhere. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 2. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things took place as examples for us, that we might not desire evil as they did. You see, it's a warning not to grumble, to stop complaining about your current situation. In the past, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, prophets like Moses. But in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son. So today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. We are the people of God, just as they were, just as they did. We heard God's message spoken to us. One people, one message, one promise of rest. But it's always been the same issue, isn't it? The issue of our hearts. They didn't listen to the warning, but don't you make the same mistake they did. And all of this, it still stands for us. God wants us to believe his word. So if you hear his voice today, don't harden your heart to his warning. Israel disobeyed by hardening their hearts. Israel are the example of what not to do. We need to be doing it differently to they. To the way they did. And here's how we need to do it. chapter 4, verse 11. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. How can we avoid following Israel's bad example? How can we be sure that we won't perish like they did? Israel's problem was their grumbling. People who grumble think that they know better. The problem with Israel was their complaining. And people who complain think that they deserve better. Grumbling and complaining are toxic in a faith community because it breeds doubt and resentment for everyone. Complaining is symptomatic of our desire for control. It's an evidence of our lack of trust in God, who is in control. When we grumble and complain, well, Israel's provided the example of what happens. But we don't even realize when we're doing it, do we? Grumbling hearts harden our heart to the word of God. But encouragement softens hearts. So let's encourage one another instead of complaining. Because that's how God builds his house. Chapter 3, verse 12. Take care, brothers, lest there be any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you away to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Encouragement keeps our thoughts on Jesus. Complaining centers our thoughts on ourselves. Grumbling seeks self-protection, while encouragement seeks the well-being of others. Encouragement is our protection. It protects us against the deceitfulness of sin. Sin that thinks we know better. Sin that thinks we deserve better. Complaining is about self-preservation, but encouragement helps us to persevere in faithfulness. But at a time like the one that we're in, what reasons do we have to encourage others? Hope. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. The promise of entering God's rest stands. If we encourage one another, we will make it over the line together. God's promise of rest is still on offer for us because Jesus did all the work for us. Just as God rested from his work in creation, believing in Jesus means we rest from all of our works too. All of our second guessing, all of our questioning, all of our doubts and fears, all of our self-preservation, all of our self-protection. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." God's eternal rest is still on offer. And we share with the rest of creation in the rest of creation. Encouraging each other to listen to the voice of God, encouraging each other to hold firmly to the end, encouraging each other with a bigger vision of Jesus, a Jesus that's better than all of our problems. In times of chaos and uncertainty like this, let's encourage each other to rest in Jesus. Because you know, that was God's plan from the very beginning. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. God rules over his world by his word. And he rules over his church the same way. So today, if you hear his voice. But creation's been in rebellion since Eden, hasn't it? All of creation is in a state of unrest. Adam complained that they didn't have enough. Eve grumbled that she knew better, both of them deceived by the deceptiveness of the deceiver, setting themselves up as judge over God's word. But it's God's word that judges us. The word of God, it judges our hearts. See it there, the voice of God judges our attitudes. Nothing in all of creation is hidden from the eyes of God. You might be able to fool others. You might have managed to even trick yourself. They even tried to do that too, didn't they? Hiding from God when they heard the sound of his voice. But God's word reveals everything. Naked and exposed at the sound of his voice. That's what the word of God does, you know. That's why we need to enter into God's rest. I want you to see everything that's on offer. Creation, hiding, naked, exposed, rest. You see, God's promises, they still stand. So let's encourage one another to enter into that rest. I've got to be honest with you though, friends. I've been a little bit grumpy this week. Okay, a lot. I've been Forrest Grump. Cooped up at home might have something to do with it, that and remote learning with two children. I found myself complaining about things, had a whinge about my situation with others. I've even grumbled about this talk. Yep, the irony's not lost on me either. This present situation that we find ourselves in together, you know, the one that's keeping all of us apart, that's tough, isn't it? Nothing seems to be going right. Nothing seems to be clear. Nothing is predictable or easy or certain. No one knows when this will end, much less what things might be like if and when it does. I found myself asking a few questions. Maybe during the course of the week you have as well. Why won't God do something about this? How much longer do I have to put up with this for? Listen, you mightn't be allowed out of the house, but God is the owner and the builder of his house. And God builds his house on encouragement. So let's make sure that we all make the effort to fall over the finish line together. Let's not leave anyone behind. So as we jump on Zoom now together, let's carefully look into all those windows on your computer screen. Among all those faces that you see, who needs your encouragement? Who needs to know God's offer of rest is still on offer for them? What's something encouraging that you could say today? Let's persevere in praying for one another's perseverance. This morning, as you jump online, come ready to encourage others, because that's how God builds his church, through us. And while you're looking there, can you see anyone that's gone missing? Someone we haven't seen together for a while? Let's not leave anyone behind. Why don't you give them a call this week? Ask them what you could pray for them and then pray for them. We need to keep reminding one another that Jesus promises us his rest in the chaos that is still called today. Will you pray with me? Almighty God, we thank you that your promise of rest still stands, and how we need your rest right now. Of all that's wrong in the world and of all that's wrong in our lives and all that's wrong within us, we need your rest. Forgive us, our great God, for complaining and grumbling, for having a whinge. Forgive us for thinking that we deserve better. Forgive us for our unbelieving hearts. Instead of complaining, would you help us to speak words of encouragement to one another? Would you help us to persevere? And that by encouraging one another, we might protect each other from the deceitfulness of sin. We pray, Lord Jesus, that we would be a church known for its encouragement. As Jesus said, by our love for one another, the world will know that we are his disciples. Help us, Lord Jesus, to love one another with encouragement, to look out for those who've gone missing, to seek to speak into the lives of those who need to be reminded of your rest. And so now we come to you, Lord Jesus, in the quietness of our own hearts, heavy and weary and burdened from our labour, we come to you and ask for rest. Thank you that you're in control. Thank you that your promises still stand. Help us to believe them. Help us to encourage one another. For we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Friends, thanks for listening. We hope this talk has encouraged and challenged you in these strange times that we're living in. We'd love your help in spreading the word about these Bible talks. If you're listening in a podcast app, please subscribe and rate and review it. That'll help it to become more visible so that others can find it. You can always just simply tell your friends about it too. Until next time, thanks for being with us.